Hare Krishna, dear devotees. It is time for us to start the Chaitanya Bhagavat classes, resume the classes once again. And today we are very fortunate to have our speaker, Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Today Mataji will be talking on Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, 6th chapter from verses 76 to 118. Before I hand over the call to Mataji, I'd like to read Srila Prabhupada's quote for today. Prabhupada says, "In the beginning, there may be some failures. That is quite natural. Just as a child is trying to stand, he may fall down. But that does not mean he should give up the idea. Go on. A time will come when he will be perfect. A time will come when you will be perfect, Krishna conscious." This was said by His Divine Grace at Los Angeles on January 1st, 1969. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Over to you, Mataji. Eagerly waiting to hear from you. Hare Krishna. Please take over.
Hey Krishna, thank you all so much. And I'm speaking Chaitanya Bhagavat after a very, very long time. So forgive me if the class was a mess, but I'll be covering more than 30, 40 verses today. So we will go in great speed. And it is a simple storyline without any purports, just one or two purports at the max in this entire section. And it will be nice to see the meeting of Advaita Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll get started with the Chaitanya Bhagavat prayers. Ajanulambita bhujau kanakavadatau sankirtanai kapitarau kamalayadakshau vishvambharau dvijavarau yugadharmapalau Vande Jagat Priya Karau Karuna Avatarau Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Jayati Jayati Kirti Stasya Nitya Pavitra Jayati Jayati Bhritya Stasya Vishveshva Murte Jayati Jayati Nritya Tasya Sarva Priyanam. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, and this is going to be Madhya Khanda. And in Madhya Khanda, we are doing chapter 6, the meeting of Advait Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will share the screen of Madhya Khanda right now. Is it not showing? Okay, I'll try again. Showing Sahasrashi. Just give me 1 second. I don't know why it's not showing. Show all windows. Browser is not showing up. Just give me 1 second. Introduction, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yeah. Okay. So we are going to read from verse 76 onwards. And we will go all the way till verse number 118, if I'm not wrong. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mugam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mishwaram Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Memorable obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So before we go to the assigned verse for today, I'll give a quick overview of what was seen in this chapter so far. This is Madhyakanda and chapter 6. In the previous chapter, if you all remember, we covered the Vyasa Puja ceremony that happened by Lord Nityananda. He worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after completing the Vyasa Puja ceremony in the house of Srivas Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Nityananda Prabhu and all the devotees, they constantly remained intoxicated in chanting the holy names. They were continuously chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sends Ramai. Ramai is one of the younger brothers of Srivas. Srivas had about three other brothers, and one of the younger ones was Ramai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends Ramai to Advaita Acharya's house with an instruction to inform Advaita Acharya that the Lord whom Advaita Acharya had worshipped and he had prayed in various ways has now appeared in this world to distribute devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent this message to Ramai to tell Advaita Acharya that you had prayed that the Lord should descend. But now that Lord has descended and he has started his pastimes as the Supreme Lord, he started distributing devotional service. So please come and take darshan of him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking about himself. So he sends this message through Ramai. And he also instructed Ramai to inform Advaita Acharya about Nityananda Prabhu's arrival. Now the two lords, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, had met and it was time to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. So he asks Ramai to go and tell this message to Advaita Acharya. So like this, being ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramai very happily he goes to the house of Advaita Acharya. And actually, Advaita Acharya, because he's the omniscient Lord, he's Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, he already knew why Ramai was coming to him. He knew that Ramai is coming to him with Mahaprabhu's instruction. So as soon as Advaita Acharya, he saw Ramai, he asks Ramai, so has Mahaprabhu sent you to bring me? And Ramai, he says yes, and he requests Advaita Acharya to come to Navadvip to meet the Lord. So you all know Advaita Prabhu's house was in Shantipur. And from time to time, he also had a residence which was close to Srivas Pandit's house, Advaita Bhavan, that was close to Srivas Pandit's house in Navadvip. So, but mostly he would stay in Shantipur. So whenever they wanted to meet Advaita Acharya, they would send a message to Shantipur and Advaita Acharya would come. So now Advaita Acharya, he became very overwhelmed with ecstasy and he kept asking Ramai, like as if he's very ignorant, he didn't know why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent Ramai. He just kept asking Ramai again and again, okay, what is the cause of your visit, Ramai? Tell me, is there anything else I must know? Then Ramai, he explains in great detail about the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he tells, please come with ingredients of worship. The Lord wants you to arrive at his place where he's waiting in Srivas Bhavan with items of worship. So now Advaita Prabhu became very happy and he fell unconscious in ecstasy. And finally he regains his consciousness and he begins to roar in jubilation because this was a long cherished desire for Advaita Acharya to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always gave respect to Advaita Acharya as a superior. But then it was a long cherished desire in his heart that he wanted to worship the Lord. So Sita Devi, who is the wife of Advaita Acharya and Advaita Acharya, both of them, they started to shed tears of love. They were extremely excited along with their son Achyutananda and others. And they all decided to go to see Mahaprabhu. So this was a time when Mahaprabhu wanted to reveal his supreme nature, that he is the Supreme Lord to Advaita Acharya. So then Advaita Acharya and Sita Devi, and they collected all the necessary ingredients for worship and they started going towards the place where Mahaprabhu was residing. And but Advaita Acharya, he wanted to test Mahaprabhu in his heart. So he told Ramai, please don't inform Mahaprabhu about our arrival. Go and tell Mahaprabhu that this Advaita Acharya did not show up. He didn't come. And Advaita Acharya and Sita Devi, they go and they stay in the house of Nandana Acharya. All this we have already seen. I'm telling all this because it's been a month since we have heard this story. So I'm recapping the entire story that has happened so far in sixth chapter. So Advaita Acharya, he goes and he secretly hides in the house of Nandana Acharya. And he tells Ramai to go and tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita Acharya didn't show up. Now, when this message was told by Ramai to Vishwambhara or to Nimai, now this Vishwambhar, who's the super soul in everyone's heart, he could understand the mind of Advaita Acharya. And he sat on the throne of Vishnu that was there in Srivas Bhavan. And he revealed the internal mode of Advaita to everybody. And Lord Nityananda was very happy and he holds up an umbrella over the Lord's head as the Lord was speaking. So everybody, they were offering different services to the Lord there in Srivas Bhavan, like Gadadhar and others. And in the meantime, Ramai, he comes and he tells about the situation of Advaita, saying that Advaita did not come. But then the Lord again ordered Ramai, I know what is happening, go and bring Advaita here. Go and bring Advaita Acharya here. So again ordered by Mahaprabhu, Ramai, he runs to the house of Nandana Acharya and he tells Advaita Prabhu that the Lord already knows that you are here. You were trying to test him, but the Lord knows that you are here and he is asking you to come. So now Advaita Acharya was very, very happy and he decided that he will stop hiding in Nandana Acharya's house. And he goes along with his wife to go and see Mahaprabhu. So when he sees Mahaprabhu there, he's very, very happy to see Mahaprabhu revealing that he is the Supreme Lord. And he goes and he offers his obeisances the next day. And he begins to behold the wonderful opulences of Advaita Acharya. So that is where we start. So again, what's happened so far? Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired Advaita Acharya to come and see him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu had already met in Srivas Bhavan, where Srivas Pandit's house is. Ramai Pandit goes with the news that Mahaprabhu has really come and he's ready to show his opulences. Initially, Advaita Acharya, he wants to test Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he goes and hides in the house of Nandana Acharya. But then Mahaprabhu, who is the Paramatma in everybody's heart, he knows that this Advaita Acharya is just trying to hide himself. So he tells, I know that he's hiding, ask him to come here. So now Ramai again goes and tells Advaita Acharya, Mahaprabhu already got to know everything. He knows that you have come here and you're hiding in Nandana Acharya's house. So you please come and give your darshan. So Advaita Acharya comes, he sees this beautiful form and he begins to pay obeisances. That's all we have seen so far. So now let's go on to verse number 76. Everyone can see my screen? I had minimized it. So now.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Prasanna vadana koti chandrera thakura dvaitera pratiyena sadaya prachura. His pleasing face defeated the beauty of millions of moons. Koti chandra. Whose face? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's face. Who was seeing the face? Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was seeing the beautiful face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His enchanting beauty had defeated millions of cupids and his body was resembling molten gold, Gauravarna. It was extremely beautiful and his face was so pleasing that it was defeating millions of moons. And he always bestowed mercy on Advaita Acharya. How was Mahaprabhu looking? How were his limbs looking? Dui bahu divya kana kerasthambha jini tani divya abharana ratnera kichani. His two arms were decorated with various ornaments and jewels and they were looking like two golden pillars. Ajanulambita bhujau, right? So his long arms reach up to his knees. So this is one of the characteristics of a Mahapurusha. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, When the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, it is described that he had long limbs. If a person's arms reach up to the knee, then it is one of the characteristics of a Mahapurusha, like Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami's hand used to extend up to this. So the two arms of Sri Gaurasundar, they conquered the beauty of the golden pillars. And his arms were decorated with beautiful ornaments, and he looked like two golden pillars bedecked with jewel. Sri Vatsa Kaustubha Mahamani Shobhe Vakshe Makara Kundala Vai Jayanti Male Dheki. What else did Advaita Prabhu say? He saw the Lord was decorated with Sri Vatsa and Kaustubha. So you all know, we have heard this a million times, that there can be many living entities who attain liberation and they can go to the spiritual world, they can go to Vaikuntha. Sometimes many living entities, they attain what is called a Sarupya Mukti. Sarupya means to have a form very similar to the Lord, to get a forearmed form that is like the Lord. Now, there is the story of Gopa Kumar. There was a cowherd boy who happened to go to Vaikuntha. Okay, in this book called as Brihad Bhagavatamrita, his story is recorded. So when he goes to Vaikuntha, he sees that there are many people who have attained Sarupya Mukti, and all of them look like Vishnu, all of them look like Narayana. And he goes and he pays obeisances to everybody, saying, "You must be Narayana, you must be Narayana, you must be Narayana." But everybody closes their ears and they say, "No, no, 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 we are not Narayana, we are just servants of Narayana, Vishnu Dutas, or people in the spiritual world who have attained such form." So they all say, "No, we are not Narayana. Please don't say that. We are eternal servants of the Lord." And then finally, he goes to the innermost chambers where Narayana, Shri, Bhu, Neela, all of them are sitting in Vaikuntha. And there he beholds the most beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. Now, what is the differentiating factor between that Supreme Lord who's in that inner chambers and so many others who have attained Sarupya? There are only two distinguishing factors. One is the mark of Srivatsa and the other is the Kaustubha. Srivatsa is the sitting place of the goddess of fortune. Goddess of fortune is the internal energy of only the Supreme Lord. So she always resides only on the chest of Narayana. She doesn't reside on the chest of everybody and anybody. So his internal energy. And the Tatastha Shakti, the living entities, they are represented by the Kaustubha Jan. This is written in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the purport in the commentary, he says, the Kaustubha represents the pure souls. So all the jivas, they are all represented by the Kaustubha Mani of the Lord. These two are the Shaktis of the Lord, the internal energy and the Tatastha Shakti. Both the Antaranga and the Tatastha Shakti belong to the Lord. He is the only one who he's a proprietor of these two Shaktis, right? So that's why it only belongs to him. Nobody else can wear the Kaustubha. Maybe we can wear a fake Kaustubha like Paundraka, but Paundraka Vasudev, he had everything fake. He had a fake Srivatsa mark also on his chest. So it can all be done in a fake way, but the true Srivatsa and the Kaustubha only belongs to the Lord. But here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from the Lord. Since he is non-different from the Lord, he is exhibiting. He is exhibiting, "See, here I am. I am the Supreme Lord. And this is not fake. This is real." So his broad chest was decorated with a mark of Srivatsa and Kaustubha Jan. And you all know how the Lord wears Makara Kundala, meaning shark-shaped or crocodile-shaped earrings. So he was wearing Makara Kundala and Vaijayanti garland. Vaijayanti garland is a mixture of many flowers, five different types of flowers. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the commentary, he writes, the beautiful chest of Sri Gaurasundar was decorated with the marks of Sri Vatsa and Kaustubha Jan. His ears were decorated with earrings shaped like sharks, and his neck was decorated with a long Vaijayanti garland, which all belongs only to the Lord. Koti Maha Surya Jini Teje Nahi Anta Pada Patne Rama Chitra Chakra Dharaye Ananta. His unlimited effulgence defeated millions of suns. Koti Maha Surya Jini. It was defeating so much effulgence. His face was defeating the beauty of hundreds of and thousands of moons, and his effulgence was defeating hundreds and millions of suns. And Rama Devi, the goddess of fortune, Rama, right? She who gives pleasure to the Lord, Rama Devi. She was sitting at the lotus feet, and Ananta held an umbrella over his head, who was always there serving the Lord. So the eternal associates were also seen. Not only was the Lord exhibiting his eternal beauty, the beauty that, and especially his special characteristics that belong only to him, but also he was surrounded by his eternal associates. Ki bhanaka ki bhamani na pare chinti chinite tribhanga bhajaya vamshi hasite hasite. No one could discern whether the shining objects at the Lord's feet were toenails or jewels. Standing in a threefold bending pose, he smiled as he played a flute. These toenails of the Lord, they were looking like shining jewels. When Krishna was dancing on the hooves of Kaliya, the palms of his lotus feet, they were shining like jewels. Of course, a snake may have jewels on his hooves, but the Lord's toenails were defeating those jewels that was there on the hooves of the snake. It was looking so resplendent. So when a yogi takes darshan of the Lord, he meditates on all of this. When he sees the toenails of the Lord, they resemble jewels. And this toenail, it reflects a lot of light. And it is said that the Brahma Jyoti emanates as something that comes out from the toenails of the Lord, because the Lord's toenails are so effulgent like jewels. So Gaurasundara, his toenails, they were also sparkling like shining jewels. And everybody was mistaking it for jewels rather than toenails. So nice reddish tinge. Again, in Chaitanya Charitamrita itself, when they describe the qualities of a Mahapurusha, how the Mahapurusha's bodily features are, it is said that his nails should have a reddish tinge. It should not be white like this and very anemic like this. It should have a nice reddish tinge inside. So that's how the Lord looked. Kiba Prabhu Kiba Gana Kiba Alankara Jyotir Maya Bai Kicho Nahi Dekhe Yara. Who was seeing this beauty? Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya saw the Lord, his associates and his ornaments as full of effulgence. When he saw Mahaprabhu, the devotees and the ornaments worn full of effulgence, he could not see anything else. When the Lord gives darshan, again, it is very difficult to first catch a beautiful form of the Lord, because the Lord's effulgence is so intense that first you can only see a bright light. Like the demigods, when they go up to the Shvetadvip to worship the Lord and offer Purushasukta prayers, first they hear the voice of the Lord. Then later, when the demigods wanted to churn the milk ocean, the Lord gives darshan later. And when the Lord gives darshan in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same experience the demigods also had. They could just see a bright light. They could not see anything more than that. It takes them some time to actually look at the beautiful form of the Lord, because he's so effulgent. Dheke pardi ache chari panchachaya moka mahabhaye stuti kare kare naradadi shuka. He saw personalities with four heads, five heads and six heads offering obeisances to the Lord. And he saw personalities like Narada and Shukadeva offering prayers with awe and reverence. Gaurarati, right? Gaurarati, we sing this like Narada, Shuka, everybody. They're all offering obeisances to the Lord. But then here, some other personalities were there besides the Nitya Siddhas. Who were they? A personality with four head. Who is the one who has four head? Anybody? Very easy question.
Brahma.
Brahma. Who's the one who has five heads? Panchamukha.
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva, yes, he has five heads. And who has six heads?
Shanmukha.
Shanmukha. Kartikeya. Very nice. It is described that the five heads of Lord Shiva represent the five elements. And Kartikeya, he was nursed by the six Kritika ladies, right? The six Kritika babies, they actually nurtured Kartikeya and gave him breast milk. And he took six heads to get the nurturing of these six Kartika girls. So he's called as Kartikeya, Kritika girls. So he gets the name Kartikeya, and he's also called Shanmukha because he's got six heads. Now Shanmukha is a great devotee of the Lord. And he's also offering obeisances. Brahma is also offering obeisances. Lord Shiva is offering obeisances. And Narada and Shukadeva Goswami, who are great sages, they are also offering obeisances to the Lord. And all this who sing, Advaita Acharya, who is no different from Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, is singing all this. So everybody is present here. And Makara Vahana Rata Yeke Varangana Danda Praname Ache Yena Ganga Sama. He saw a beautiful woman resembling Ganga sitting on a shark and wearing and offering obeisances to the Lord. Ganga Devi had also come. Obviously, this is Navadvip. This is close to the Ganges. So when so many demigods are coming, Ganga personified, she also come. So this wonderful woman, Ganga Devi, was also offering obeisances. You have all seen paintings of Ganga Devi sitting on a crocodile. Sometimes Makara is translated as a shark, sometimes as a crocodile. But generally you see her on a Vahana of a crocodile or a shark appearing. So like that, Mother Ganges also. Tabedhe ki stuti kare sahasravadana chari dike dekhe jyotir mayadeva gana. Then he saw thousand-headed Anantasesha offering prayers to the Lord as the demigods watched on all sides. Such a beautiful darshan Advaita Acharya was getting. There are so many devotees who have seen the Lord exhibiting different forms, like four-arm form, six-arm form, and so on. We have seen that in one of the previous sessions also. But here, the Lord is giving his darshan as the Lord of Vaikuntha in one sense, where all the demigods are offering prayers and he's sitting on a throne and he's also showing his two-arm form as Krishna is playing the flute and all of them are offering prayers to him. And we all know how Anantasesha, he keeps offering prayers to the Lord all the time, but he's not able to exhaust because every time he thinks he's finished glorifying the Lord's Leela, the Lord performs another Leela. So it's impossible for Ananta with his thousands of mouths to finish glorifying the Lord. So Ananta Sesh was continuously glorifying the Lord when Advaita Acharya was watching. Ulati Acharya deke charane ratale sahasra sahasra deva padi Krishna bhale. Advaita Acharya turned his head and he saw thousands of demigods chanting the name of Krishna at the feet of the Lord. Ye pujara samaye ye deva dhyana kare taha deke chari dike charane ratale. Those demigods that are meditated on at the time of worship were all seen surrounding the lotus feet of the Lord. Deke ya sambhrame dhanda pranama chadi uthila advaita adbhuta deki bhadi. Upon seeing those opulences, Advaita was struck with wonder and he got up from his prostrated position. So first Advaita went and paid his obeisances. That's how we saw today's class. It started with that. And he was seeing all this and he was struck with wonder. And then he gets up. Dhekeshata phanandhara mahanaga gana urdva bahu stuti kare tuli shapta phana. What is phana? Phana? We have Pani, Paneshwari Mataji. Snake, right? Pani. Pana. So he saw great serpents with hundreds of hooves raise their arms while offering prayers to the Lord. Fifth canto, last chapter, we see the glories of Ananta. And he's accompanied by all his serpent wives. And they are all continuously glorifying the Supreme Lord as Ananta. Similarly, even those serpents from Ananta Sesha's associates, they are also coming here and they are glorifying the Lord. Anan antarikshe paripurna dheke divya rata gaja hamsa ashweni rodhila vayupatha. He saw the entire sky filled with divine chariots, all the demigods were there. The airways were congested with elephants, swans and horses. So there was air traffic jam. And who was there? It was not a bunch of airplanes like Jet Airways and Emirates and British Airways. No. What did he see in the sky? In Antariksha, he saw that the airways were congested with elephants, swans and horses. So different demigods have different vahanas. Who has the elephant as vahana? Anybody?
Indra, Indra,
Airavat. Indra, yes, Indra. Very good. Very nice. Hamsa, Hamsa Vahana?
Brahma.
Brahma. Brahma.
And horses, this is a cool one. Try, try. Who has horse?
It's Hayagriva.
Sun God, Mataji.
Sun God, yes. Hayagriva himself has horse, right? He's the supreme.
That's what, sorry.
Yeah, sun god, very good. Actually, that's an excellent answer. Very nice. Thank you. Okay. So all of them, the entire skyway or the entire Antariksha was having traffic jam with all these different animals because everyone was coming to see the Lord. Just like how when the Lord was born, all the demigods came. When Krishna was born, also all the demigods were doing Garbhastuti when they saw Krishna in the womb of Devaki. So like that, when the Lord appears, everybody is very, very excited. All the demigods assemble in the sky to see the Lord. Koti koti nagavadu, nagavadu, vadu means wife, right? All the nagapatnis of, we know, fifth canto, last chapter of Sesha. Koti koti nagavadu sajalanayane, Krishna bali stuti kare dheka vityamane. Millions of serpents wives were offering obeisance to the Lord while chanting the name Krishna with tears in their eyes. They were also overwhelmed looking that their Lord has come here. Kshiti. Kshiti means bhumi. Kshiti antarikshe sthana nahi avakashe deke padi ache maharishi gana paashe. There was no vacant space left on earth or on sky. He saw many great rishis offering obeisances in one corner. Mahathakurala deki paila sambhrama pati patni ki chubali barana hikshama. Upon seeing those opulences, both husband and wife were so awestruck that they became speechless. On seeing such great opulences of Sri Gaurasundara, Advaita Acharya and his wife became stunned and speechless. What else do you expect? Paramasadaya mati Prabhu Vishwambhara Chahiya Advaita Prati Kwarila Uthara. The most merciful Lord Vishwambhara looked at Advaita and he began to speak. Okay, but before we continue with these verses, let's take a quick detour of how Sita Thakurani, she is the wife of Advaita Acharya, right? So when she came, I was just mentioning that when the Lord is born, everybody wants to come and see the Lord. So when Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, heard that Mother Shachi had given birth to a nice baby boy, Nimai, she was very curious to come and see the boy. So we all know when our neighbors or relatives, they give birth to a child, initially the mother and the child is in the maternity ward. And then after the child comes out with the mother, some ladies, they come and they see the child and they offer their blessings and prayers. A lot of married women, they go and they see the child and they offer gifts and prayers and nice blessings to the child. Similarly, Sita Thakurani, who is the wife of Advaita Acharya, she had heard in Shantipur that the Shachi Devi has given birth to a beautiful baby boy. So she was very curious to come and see how the child looked. So Sita Thakurani, she also came and she had a very beautiful experience of seeing baby Nimai. So I thought we'll just pick that a little bit and meditate on that from 13th chapter. This is Adi Khanda, Adi Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela verses 111 onwards. First and foremost thing is Advaita Acharya has come to see the Lord here and he's getting the darshan of the Lord, exhibiting his spiritual identity, meaning showing that he's the Supreme Lord. He's showing that now. But it is the same Advaita Acharya who once upon a time in his house in Shantipur was dancing in a pleasing mood when the Lord had made his appearance. So when the Lord appeared during the eclipse time, at that time, Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, they could immediately understand that something special is happening today, that the Supreme Lord is descending today. So they were all, both of them, they were dancing and they were chanting Hare Krishna. And somehow they could understand in their heart that it was very, very special and the Lord was descending. Shortly after that, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Thakurani, she is described as being worshipable by the whole world. She takes her husband's permission and she goes to see that child with some gifts and presentations because she wants to see Mother Shachi and offer blessings. Advaita Acharya had two houses, one at Shantipur and one at Navadvip. We have told this earlier as well. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaita Acharya was in his Shantipur house. So Advaita Acharya's old paternal house was in Shantipur, and Sita Thakurani from Shantipur, she comes to Navadvip and she brings all sorts of beautiful gifts for the newborn child. So what are the gifts she brings? She brings all sorts of golden ornaments, including armlets, necklaces, anklets, bangles, and she got tiger nail set in gold. Why do they put tiger nail set in gold? It is for removing drishti. Even Narsingadev, right? Narsingadev also wears a tiger nail set in gold because there are many devotees. See, Narsingadev is everybody's protector. He is offering protection to all the devotees, but some devotees like to offer protection to Narsingadev in a Vatsalya mood. So they offer this tiger nail. Tiger nail is meant for protection. It's very auspicious. When it is set in gold, it gives a lot of protection to the child. So in traditionally, even like 50, 60 years ago also, I've seen people wearing a tiger nail set in gold for protection. They wear a chain. So she takes that and then she gets lots of silk clothes, ornaments for hands, legs, and she makes nice garments out of silk for the baby, and gold coins, silver coins. She takes all of that as presentations and she goes and gives the child. So at that time, Advaita Acharya was considered a very rich man. It is mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purport that if he had so many gold ornaments and he was able to give it away as gifts, then it appears that Advaita Acharya was a very, very rich man. And although Brahmanas are not very rich, Advaita Acharya was a great Brahmin. Although he was the leader of the Brahmanas in Shantipur, still he had some riches. And he in those days, he was considered quite well-to-do. And he brings his wife brings all these ornaments. And how did she go to see this little baby Nimai? She goes in a palanquin, it is described. She goes in a palanquin, which is a cloth that is covered in a seated area with cushions. And men actually carry that palanquin. And she was surrounded by many auspicious brahmanas. And she carried not only gold and silver and all these different articles, she also carried grass, paddy, gocharan, turmeric, kumkuma, sandalwood, all these presentations she had filled in a basket, and some able men had carried her and they took her to this place. So this was the culture in those days, like very chaste women. They were not seen publicly in front of many people. They would just go in palanquins. And they would go and visit their friends like this. So Sita Thakurani, like this, she comes to the house of Shachi Devi. And she got many eatables also. Not only did she get gold, silver, and all these things, she also got many eatables for the child. And she was very surprised when she sees the child. She could understand from the effulgence of the child that this child is non-different from Krishna and Gokul. She could understand that. When she saw this similar beauty, as a child also, he was exhibiting all this beauty. His limbs were very, very effulgent. He had long limbs and he was smiling very nicely. And immediately Sita Thakurani, who was very, very advanced in consciousness, she could understand that this child is no ordinary child. And she blesses the newborn child by placing this fresh kusha grass and paddy on the child's head. And she says, may you have a long duration. And because the child should be protected from witches and all these khetaris and all that, who are very fond of children, these ghostly living entities, and anyone who may, some evil spirits and all of that, she names the child Nimai so that the child will be protected. Because neem tree, you all know, is generally a place where ghosts cannot reside. She names this little child Nimai. And also Nimai was actually born under a neem tree. So she names him Nimai so that he can always receive that protection. When Mother Shachi and the child, they left the maternity home, Sita Thakurani, also goes and honors Jagannath Mishra with a lot of ornaments and garments, and Mother Shachi, and then she comes home. So, like this, Sita Thakurani already went and she did with the needful when this little Nima was born. You know, as a woman next door, as a neighbor, she goes and she blesses the child. And that time also, they had a glimpse that this is not an ordinary child. Then later, there is also one more incident when Advaita Acharya, he would teach. I told you, Advaita Acharya had two residences. Mostly, he lived in Shantipur. But sometimes he would come for, he would come like a visiting professor. He would come to teach all the children. And this Vishvambhara's, our Nimai's, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother's name was Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop would go to the school of Advaita Acharya and learn from him. This place, Advaita Bhavan, was close to Srivas Bhavan, where Srivas Pandit would have his gathering. So at that time, when Vishwaroop used to go, our little Nimai would go and call Vishwaroop for lunch during the lunch break. So at that time, when Advaita Acharya saw this boy, at that time also he was thinking, this boy is something very special. But it is now that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing his identity in full, and he was especially revealing his real identity to Advaita Acharya. Because it was this Advaita Acharya who prayed initially and who was waiting for the Lord to appear. He knew that the Lord had appeared. He had seen this boy at multiple times, but now he was able to see the Lord in his full opulence. Okay, so let's continue from 93. The most merciful Lord Vishvambhara looked at Advaita and he began to speak as follows. Tomara sankalpa lagi avatirna ami vistara amara aradhana kaila tumi. I have descended to fulfill your vow. You have profusely worshipped me. It was this Advaita who offered a tulasi and Ganges water and worshipped a Shalagram Shila, requesting the Lord to descend. And now the Lord had revealed his identity. Look, I am here because you called me. He says, Shrutiya achilo kshira sagar bhitare nidra bhanga haila mora tomara hunkare. Your hunkara, you called out to me, your loud cries, they broke my sleep. Nidra bhanga haila.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, I think Mataji got dropped off.
Yeah, okay.
Krishna?
Mataji lost the connection. Yeah,
Yes,
Mataji lost connection.
Mataji.
Yeah,
She's completely back.
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry for that. My computer does have issues. I'm back. Okay. Yeah. Tomara sankalpa lagi avatirna ami vistara amara aradhana kaila tumi. Where was the Nidra Bhanga? Yeah. Nidra Bhanga haila mora tomara hunkare. My sleep was broken. I was happily sleeping in the ocean of milk, but then you did this hunkar. And my sleep broke and I came for you. So it says, Dekhiya jivera dukkha na paristhite amare anile saba jiva uddharite. You could not tolerate the suffering of living entities, so you brought me here to deliver them. This is the nature of a devotee. A devotee wants the Lord to come. Devotee wants to deliver everybody who is present here. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata apyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord appears from time to time to protect the pious, annihilate the miscreants and re-establish dharma. So when such dharmic principles are declining, there is always a devotee who's crying out, please Lord, please descend. Sometimes it is the demigods who go to the shore of the Kshir Sagar and they request the Lord to come. But sometimes it is a Vaishnava like Advaita Acharya who cries out to the Lord, please come and defend. So like this, the Lord says, because you could not tolerate the suffering of the living entities, you called out to me and I am coming now. And I'm here right now revealing my true identity to deliver all the living entities here by spreading the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sankirtan yatnya yateka de kila chatur dikke mora gana sabara haila janma tomara karana. All my associates that you are surrounding me have already taken births because of you. All the associates now around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already taken birth. Many of them were much older to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Nityananda Prabhu. So all of them had already taken birth. Why? Because you called. Because whenever the Lord appears, first all his associates, they take birth. We also see in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, before Krishna's appearance, all the demigods, they take birth in the Yadu dynasty. Similarly, when Lord Ramachandra appeared, all the Vanaras were actually the demigods who had appeared. So like that, the Lord's associates, they first take birth and then the Lord comes. So he says, ये वैष्णवधेकिते ब्रह्मांडी भावे मने तो माहिते ताहा देकी बेका सर्वजने. By your mercy, Vaishnavas, that even personalities like Brahma desire to see will now be seen by everyone. It's a very important verse. At this point in time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, because you cried, so many of my eternal associates came and they took birth. Not only that, there are so many Vaishnavas amidst me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, they are such great devotees at this point in time on earth. Because you called me, because I have to come, great Vaishnavas have also taken birth. Who are these great Vaishnavas? Even demigods, they are hankering to see these great Vaishnavas. You all know from the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there are many, in this Bhumandala, there are many planetary systems. There are many planets or many tracts of land, whatever you call them, within this Bhumandala. And Earth is one of them. So there is this place called as Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is the center of the entire Bhumandala. And in Jambudvipa, there are 9 varshas, 9 tracts of land, of which one is Bharata Varsha or this earth. 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we disturb the cosmology, we come across all this. Now, in this Jambudvipa, there is one chapter, there are 2 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam that talk about the prayers offered by the by demigods glorifying the residents of Bharata Varsha. Very beautiful prayers. Now, in these prayers, actually the demigods, they have a similar glorification, saying that in this Bharat Varsha, there are so many Vaishnavas who have taken birth. There are so many devotees who have taken birth. And it is a very rare opportunity to get darshan of devotees. So these demigods are thinking, oh, when will I also take birth in Bharat Varsha and I may be able to perform devotional service following in the footsteps of these great Vaishnavas. So I thought I will just read a few verses from Canto 5, Chapter 19. I'll just do the translation so that we know how the demigods are also praying for this opportunity to see Vaishnavas and practice devotion. From verse 20 onwards, Chapter 19, Canto 5. After many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of the varied fruit of activities. As a result of associating with such devotees, one gradually renders devotional service unto Lord Vasudeva, who's transcendental, free from attachment to the material world and beyond the minds and words and independent of everything else. That bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, is the real path to liberation. So they are all telling that it is very rare to find a Vaishnava, opportunity to associate with devotees. It's a very rare thing. Actually, we are all so blessed. We are the most fortunate people in this universe. We are blessed with Vaishnava association. We are able to take devotee association. We are able to see pure devotees walk this earth, like our spiritual masters, to see them itself as a great boon. So we are all so blessed. And it comes after so many years. You know, if Krishna is merciful to us, then we will get devotee association. And what happens when you take devotee association? You can perfect your life by performing bhakti to Lord Vasudeva, which is the true path to liberation. Since the human form of life is the sublime position for spiritual realization, all the demigods in heaven speak in this way. They are all telling how wonderful it is for those human beings to have been born in the land of Bharatavarsha. They must have executed pious acts of austerity in the past, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself must have just been pleased with them. Otherwise, how could they engage in devotional service in so many ways? We demigods can only aspire to achieve human births in Bharatavarsha to execute devotional service. But these human beings are already engaged in devotional service there. After performing the very difficult tasks of executing Vedic ritual sacrifices, undergoing austerities, observing vows, and giving charity, we have reached the position as inhabitants of heavenly planets. We have become demigods after a long struggle. But what is the value of this achievement? Here, we are engaged in material sense gratification, and we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. This is the problem in higher planetary systems. It sounds very nice to be in the higher planetary systems, but then too much of anything is a distraction. Janmaishwarya Shruta Sridhir, who says, Kunti Maharani says, if you have to, even in the earth also, if you're on earth, if you're in Bharatavarsha, even if you have taken devotee association, even if you are in the Siskon movement also, if you have too much of Janmaishwarya Shruta Sridhir, if you're too well educated, if you have too much beauty, if you have very high birth, if you have too much money, all of this is a distraction, because you'll be so absorbed in that you will forget to worship the lotus feet of the Lord. It's not bad to have things, but we should have things in the right consciousness. If our consciousness is getting disturbed because we are having it, then it is a problem. That's what she says. And then the demigods continue to tell, a short life in the land of Bharatavarsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, there is a possibility that he will come back to earth, right? So he is in the cycle of birth and death. Although life in Bharatavarsha in a lower planetary system is very short, easily within a short period of time, one can elevate himself to Krishna consciousness. He can attain perfection and he can get to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One attains Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety or no repeated birth in a material body, while he is performing bhakti in a material body in Bharatavarsha. So it is so much more easier on earth. An intelligent person does not take interest in a place, even in the topmost planetary system. If the pure Ganges of topics concerning the Supreme Lord's activities do not flow there, if there are no devotees engaged in devotional service, then what is the use of living in such a place when there is no Sankirtan Yajna to satisfy the Lord? They are asking, all these demigods or higher planetary system residents are all glorifying Bharatavarsha, and they are telling, look at their great fortune. They have devotee association. They are able to hear Harikatha all the time. The pure topics of the Supreme Lord's exploits, his leelas, they are continuously coming out of the mouth of great Vaishnavas. And these residents in Bharatavarsha have an opportunity to hear that. They can perform the Sankirtan Yajna. They can constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So I wish even I can take birth in this Bharatavarsha. They say Bharatavarsha is the perfect land in all circumstances to execute devotional service. That is free from jnana and karma. This is another thing they are telling. In the higher planetary systems, there is so much of jnana, right? We have seen the four Kumaras along with Brahma. They live in Satyaloka and they are constantly discussing different types of topics from Shastras and all that. There is this story in Rad Bhagavatamrita when Gopakumar, he goes to Satyaloka, he sees that the Vedas personified and all these Shrutis and Smritis, they're all constantly engaged in some argument with each other. But however, he also sees that eventually the Bhakti scriptures take an upper hand in that argument. But all this is going on in the upper planetary system. There is so much distraction with jnana and karma. Like, for example, in the Maharloka, Janaloka, and all, there are so many great prajapatis who are continuously performing yajnas. What is the use of all that? If it is mixed, then it is a problem. If all this is there too much, it's a problem. But pure devotional service is seen in Bharata Varsha, and in this age of Kali, people are performing Sankirtan Yajna. So what more can be better than that? Then they say in this land of Bharata Varsha, there are many worshippers. Oh, this is interesting. In India, in Bharata Varsha, there are many worshippers of demigods, the various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshipper offer the demigod their oblations, considering the demigods as part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually rises these worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because of the Lord's complete, he offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only a part of his transcendental body. So the entire process in this earthly planet, even if they are not directly worshipping the Lord, even if they are worshipping the demigod representatives also, they do it. The yajnas are formulated in a way that it is meant to sacrifice. These sacrifices are meant to satisfy Vishnu. And these demigods are only parts and parcels of Vishnu, or they are only the bodily parts of Vishnu. So eventually everything is going for the pleasure of Vishnu. So there is gradual purification. So even they are also getting purified. So like this, the demigods, they are offering very beautiful prayers and they are desiring that I wish I can take birth in this land of Bharatavarsha, because only in this place we can constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. And the people here in this place have the greatest of all fortune. So why did we talk so much? Because we were talking about how it is very rare to see Vaishnavas. It is very, very rare to see Vaishnavas. By your mercy, Mahaprabhu is telling Advaita Acharya, Vaishnavas are coming here, and because of that, even Brahma and other demigods are able to see Vaishnavas. Because you called out for me, and before I come, my devotees come. So even great demigods are now able to see devotees face to face at this point in time. Eketa prabhura vakya advaita shuniya urdva bahu kari khande shastrika haya. On hearing the Lord's words, Advaita and his wife raised their arms and began to cry. They were so happy. Aji se saphala mora dhina prapara kasha, aji se saphala haya yata adhilasha. Today my life has become successful. Today all my desires have been fulfilled, Advaita Acharya says. Aji mora janma karma sakala saphala sakshate dheki lun tora charana yugala. Today my life and activities have become successful because I have seen your lotus feet. Goshe matra chari vede yara nahi deke hena tumi mora lagi haila prarake teke. The four Vedas only describe your glories, but they cannot directly see you. Yet you have appeared because of me. All these great Paramahamsas, they are searching for the Lord through the four Vedas. They are digressing and they are trying to find out, oh, how do we understand the Supreme Lord through these Vedas? The Vedas are constantly searching for the Supreme Lord. But because of a pure devotee, because of the call of Advaita Acharya, the Lord himself came and he is directly visible. Even the four Vedas are trying to search for the Lord. But when a pure devotee calls, everybody is benefited. The Lord is present here for everyone's benefit. Mora kichu shakti nahi tomara karuna toma bai jiva udhari ba konjana. I have no power outside your causeless mercy. who can deliver the living entities other than you? Who can deliver living entities other than Vaishnavas? The Lord also, he's subservient to his devotees. It is the devotee who has the final authority, and the devotee can deliver everybody. Balite balite preme basena acharya prabhu bale amara pujara kar karya. While speaking this way, Advaita Acharya floated in an ecstasy of love of God. The Lord then said, now arrange for my worship. The Lord already told, ask him to come here and worship me. So he says, okay, now that you brought all the paraphernalia, now arrange for my worship. Paya prabhura agnya paramaharishe chaitanya charana puje asesha viseshe. On receiving the Lord's order, he happily worshipped the lotus feet of Chaitanya with full attention. Pratame charana dui suvasita jale seshe khande paripurna padapadme dhale. First, he washed the lotus feet of the Lord with fragrant water and then smeared them with sandalwood. So this is how we worship even Shalagram Shila. First, you wash the Shalagram Shila and then you wipe them clean. And then you apply sandalwood paste and tulasi. So what is the next step? Applying tulasi. Chandane dubai divya tulasi manjari agra argayera stita dila charana upari. He dipped the tulasi manjaris in sandalwood paste and placed them and all the ingredients of argya at the Lord's feet. 108. Ganda pushpa dhupa deepa pancha upachare puja kare prema jale vahe ashrudhare. After you worship the deity, what do? You take an arati. You do an arati, right? Five ingredients. He worshipped the Lord with five ingredients like sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, and ghee. As he worshipped the Lord, tears of love flowed from his eyes. The five ingredients, as mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas, are sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, ghee, and different foodstuffs. We also offer bhoga. Panchashika jwalipuna karena vadhana seshe jaya jaya dhvani karaye ghoshana. He offered lamb with five ghee wicks like we do in Mangalarati. And he again offered prayers. And finally, he chanted jaya jaya. Panchashika means a lamp with five wicks. Kariya charana puja shodasha upachare arabara dila maila malya vastra alankare. Shodasha upachara is again mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. 16 ingredients. This is the most detailed form of worship, offering shodasha upachara. We may, at home deities, we may not be able to offer all the shodasha upacharas, but then as given to us by our Guru Parampara, we follow certain prescribed rules and regulations, like following certain things in the arati. We offer dhoop, deep. Then we offer jalam. We offer vastra. Then we offer flower. And then we fan the Lord. We do that. And if we have shilas, we offer water, sandalwood paste, and tulasi manjari and all that. And we follow by all these different offerings. But what are these shodasha upachar? Shodasha means 16. 16 ingredients of worship are offering a seat, swagata, welcome, argya, ingredients offered to the hand, padya, for washing the feet, achamaniya, for washing the mouth, madhuparka, ingredients offered before bath, achamana, for washing the hands and mouth, snana, bath, vasana, cloth, abharana, ornaments, sugandha, sandalwood paste, pushpa, flowers, dhupa, incense, deepa, lamp, Naivedya, this also we do, foodstuffs, and Vandana, prayers also we do. According to others, the 16 ingredients are Asana, Avahana, which is greeting, Padya, Argya, Achamaniya, Snana, Vasana, Bhushana, or ornaments, Ganda, Pushpa, Dupa, Deepa, Naivedya, Pushpanjali, offering of flowers, Pradakshina, this also we do. We do Pradakshina, at least for Tulasi, at home they do Pradakshina, the temples for the deities we do Pradakshina. Namaskara, obeisances we do, and Visarjana, immersion. That is, if you are inviting the deity for a short period of time, you have to do Visarjana later. But we don't do that. Okay, at home we have deities that are welcomed and stay with us forever. Shastra श्री पूज करी पठल विधाने ये श्लोक पढ़ी करे दंड प्रणामे. Advaitacharya worshipped the Lord according to Pancharatrika regulations of the scriptures. He offered obeisances while reciting the following verse. The phrase Padala Vidhana refers to Pancharatriki regulations that are described in various Patalas or chapters of the scriptures. Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu worshipped Mahaprabhu according to the Pancharatrika rules and regulations set forth in scriptures. By using the phrases Shastra Drishtiye and Patala Vidhane, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat has indicated those who are inclined to the service of Lord that Advaitacharya Prabhu worshipped Gaura with Sri Gaura Mantra. We find this method of worship in Sri Dhyanachandra's Paddhati as well as in many other Pancharatrika literatures like Urdhva Manya Tantra. In these literatures, the process of worshipping Gaura with Gaura Mantra is described. Advaita Prabhu worshipped Mahaprabhu according to Pancharatrika rules and regulations based on the scriptures, and in order to reveal that Gaura Chandra is non-different from Vishnu, he offered prayers to Mahaprabhu by reciting the verse beginning with Namo Brahmanya Devaya. By quoting the verse beginning, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat did not contradict the Gaura Mantra. So Advaita Acharya was worshipping the Lord with Gaura Mantra, beginning with Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which is also a mantra that is offered directly to Krishna. So he is not contradicting anything because Gaura is non-different from Lord Sri Krishna. And we also worship the Lord with Gaura Mantra for those who are who get the Diksha Mantras, they know. We also worship the Lord with the Gaura Mantra. And the Gaura Mantra is Shastric. That is another thing that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati clarifies here. We've got four more verses. I'll quickly read, or maybe we can pass on the verses to the next speaker. I don't know. It's not very difficult. So we'll quickly take another 5 more minutes. I'm already over time, I know. Just 5 more minutes. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. What is that Namo Brahmanya verse? We actually offer this verse every day, right? When we are offering bhoga.
Offering food.
When we are giving bhoga to the Lord. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Go Brahmana Hitaya cha. Jagadithaya Krishnaya. Govindaya Namo Namaha. This is applicable even to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he is non-different from Krishna. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipable deity of all Brahmanical men, who is the well-wisher of cows and Brahmanas. Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya cha. So he is Go and Brahmana Hita, meaning he takes care of both Go and Brahmanas. Of the cows and Brahmanas, and who's always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are using all of this in our daily worship. Ei shloka padi age namaskara kari seshi shrutstuti kare nana shastra anusari. First he offered obeisances by reciting the verse. Then he offered prayers in accordance to various scriptures. Jaya jaya sarva prana natha vishvambara. Jaya jaya gaura chandra karuna sagara. Another beautiful stuti of the Lord. All glories to Vishwambhara. Jaya Jaya Sarva Prana Natha Vishwambhara. The life and soul of all entities. All glories to Gaura Chandra, the ocean of mercy. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Karuna Sagara. Even if we cannot use some Gaura mantras with bijas, we can still at least chant this. Jaya Jaya Sarva Prana Natha Vishwambhara. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Karuna Sagara. Beautiful. Jaya Jaya Bhakta Vachana Satya Kari. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Maha Avatari. One more prayer. All glories to the Lord who makes the world of his devotees come true, words of his devotees come true. All glories to Mahaprabhu, the supreme fountainhead of all incarnation. Bhakta Vachana Satyakari. He makes the words of devotees like Advaita Acharya come true. Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu Mahavatari. He is the fountainhead of all incarnation. Jaya Jaya Sindhu Suta Rupa Manorama. Jaya Jaya Srivatsa Kaustubha Vibhushana. What is he wearing? Srivatsa and Kaustubha. And who is he? He is Sindhu Sutta Rupa Manorama. Who is Sindhu Sutta? What is the meaning of Sindhu Sutta? Sindhu means ocean. Sutta means daughter. Who is the daughter
Lakshmi
of
Lakshmi Mata.
Lakshmi Devi.
Yes. The one. All glories to the Lord who is enchanted by the beauty of the goddess Lakshmi, the daughter of the ocean. All glories to the Lord who is decorated with the mark of Srivatsa and the Kaustubha gem. Sindhu Sutta Lakshmi. Some of the acharyas are of the opinion. There are different opinions why the ocean of milk was churned. Of course, in Srimad Bhagavatam and Argaudiya Vaishnava acharyas are of the opinion that the Lord had an itch. So he wanted to go as a kurma and go beneath the Mandara mountain. And as the Mandara mountain was being churned, it was like a cool rubbing effect on his back, and he was relieved from his itch. That is the reason why he went, he participated in the churning of milk ocean. Some Sri Vaishnava Acharya, they are of the opinion that the whole reason why the Lord participated in this, the churning of the milk ocean, is because he wanted to see his consort come out of the ocean of milk. That is the only reason. He was not interested in nectar. He was not interested in anything else. He was waiting for when this goddess of fortune is going to come out, and he can see his Sindhu Sutta and get enchanted by her. So that is the only reason why he participated. He takes the form of Ajita. He goes as the Kurma, and then he takes the side of the demigods. He sits on top of the Mandara mountain, and he energizes the demigods and the demons in various ways. And he's present everywhere. 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, churning of the milk ocean. He's doing all this just because he wants his consort to come out. So here it's, I thought this verse is very beautiful. All glories to the Lord who is enchanted by the beauty of Goddess Lakshmi, the daughter of the ocean. All glories to the Lord who is decorated with the mark of Srivatsa and the Kaustubha gem. Very, very beautiful. The phrase Sindhu Sutta Rupa Manorama refers to the Lord whose mental happiness is increased by seeing the beauty of Sri Lakshmi Devi, the daughter of the ocean. During the churning of the ocean, Lakshmi Devi appeared from the ocean. Therefore, her name is Sindhu Sutta. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, then there appeared the goddess of fortune, Rama, who is absolutely dedicated to being enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appeared like electricity, surpassing the lightning that might illuminate a marble mountain. Vidyut Sudhamaniyata. She was looking like Vidyut, like lightning. Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna Mantrera Prakasha Jaya Jaya Nija Bhakti Grahana Vilasa. All glories to he who introduces the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra. All glories to he who enjoys the pastime of accepting his own devotional service. This Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let Gaura Sundar, who introduces the chanting of this Maha Mantra, be repeatedly glorified. By this it is indicated that those who place obstacles in the path of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra introduced by Gaura Sundar are opposed to Gaura Sundar. Sri Gaura Sundar is directly Lord Krishna. Although he is Sri Krishna, he enacts the pastimes of personally accepting and executing the process of devotional service to teach living entities the process of worshipping him, or he enacts his pastimes in the form of a devotee to induce living entities to accept his devotional service. One more comment I wanted to make here is, there are many people who say, you might have heard this, there are many people who make a claim that Sri Mahaprabhu did not really give the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It was later manufactured. But here, you see, there are many proofs throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and many other places. Even in Jiva Goswami's writings, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra himself. Meaning, he did propagate it. He himself means what? He went around chanting this mantra and he propagated it. And this is one of the verses. You see, Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna Maha Mantrera Prakasha. He was the one who came and introduced this congregational chanting of which mantra? It's not that he just chanted, O Keshava, O Rama, and he went. Some people say that. No, he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and he propagated the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is being told by Advaita Acharya. He gave Nija Bhakti, his own bhakti, in the form of giving the holy names. Final verse for today. जय जय महाप्रभु अनंत शयाना, जय 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 सर्व जीवेर शरणा। All glories to Mahaprabhu who lies in the bed of Ananta. All glories to the shelter of all living entities. Sarva Jivera Sharana. So we'll stop here. And of course, the next few verses is also a glorification of Advaita Acharya saying beautiful praises to Mahaprabhu. And these are some, maybe even if we know one or two of these prayers that Advaita Acharya offers, It is very nice for us. We can memorize. I've not memorized, but I'm thinking I will also try to memorize maybe 2-3 verses. So whenever we see the deity form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, we can also say these lovely things. So I'll stop here. Sorry for going over time. Any questions, comments, realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Mataji, what a beautiful, beautiful class. You made us immerse in this Mahaprakash Leela, which is so beautiful. I really loved when you said, even for us to get the association of a pure devotee, how much of mercy the Lord has showered on us. And we take it, I take it so light, I take it for granted.
I just take them so much, everybody, so much for granted.
Yeah, thank you for making me realize that, Mataji. I will be more sincere in my attitude when I hear Guru Maharaj's lectures from now on.
Very over sincere, Mataji.
No, not at all. Beautiful class, Mataji. The reference from 5th canto, from about Sita Thakurani, everything, Mataji. The demigods' prayers, the Jambudvipa residents' prayers, everything was so beautiful, Mataji. Beautiful, beautiful class. I enjoyed listening to you. And as you said, you came after such a long time. Please make time and come more frequently, Mataji, for Chaitanya Bhagavat. So beautiful to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I also wanted to do some more verses from 8th canto, but we were running out of time about the appearance of Lakshmi. It's also a very beautiful section in 8th canto. It's so beautiful. She is holding a garland and she's saying, who is this? Is this person qualified? Maybe he has a few qualities, but he also has a few qualities that are not appropriate. Like that she goes on and on and then finally she garlands Vishnu.
So beautiful, yeah. Hope to hear from it, about it from you more, Mataji. Love to.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mataji. Hare Krishna devotees. Mataji, do you have time?
I have all the time.
Go ahead, devotees. I know many will be waiting to pass their comments and realizations.
I think you're not spotlighted. Can you spotlight yourself? I am on the phone.
Yeah, I will do it myself.
Because you lost your connection, that's when I came on the phone.
I don't know, someone did it. One of you did it.
Someone else raised. Sukaka Krishna Prabhu raised his hand first.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. It was like a rain. Suddenly you stopped it. I said, why the rain stopped? Amrita Varshini was coming. Amrita Varshini. You should have continued for another 15 minutes and tell the 8th chapter also, in 8th canto, Lakshmi is under.
Yeah, no, it's so much, Prabhu. Actually, it can go on. But yeah, Lakshmi Devi, when she comes out, she thinks she's holding a garland and she's going from one place to the other. But she sees doshas in everybody. Though they have many good qualities, at the same time they all carry doshas. There's only one person who doesn't have a single dosha. That is the Supreme Lord Narayan or Ajita, who's there. But he's having one dosha. What is the dosha he has? He's not so much interested in her, in one sense that he's not hankering, oh, I want Lakshmi, I want Lakshmi. So that is the that he has. And she's very happy with that. So it's a nice relationship. Yeah.
Wonderful, Madhu. Just so nice. You to come every week, you come once. Chaitanya Bhagavata.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Anita?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanur Brahms. Wow, what a wonderful class. So though you said that you have come after long time, I think like we also missed you for a long time. So as Mataji said, please come often to give such nice classes, Mataji. And Mataji, in the demigod's prayers, you read from the fifth canto that they are hankering to come to this Bharat Parsha to do the devotion service. But after doing the devotion service, they must have got that demigod's position, right? Maybe they must have come to this Bharat Varsha. They have done some sacrifices, and because of that, they must have got that position of a demigod. Maybe, right? So, how to understand this, Mataji? Then again, they are hankering to come here. Yeah, because the people here, we actually, Lord Krishna says that this place is Dukkalayam, and so it is because of our desires that this material world has been given, and we are suffering here. But people don't know about that. So in that case, then how to understand this? The demigods also, they want to come here, and why people here, they don't know about this?
So the demigods, their planet is also Dukkhalayam only, meaning even in the higher planetary system, there is no guarantee that it's going to be always happy, because sense gratification will be very good, that is true, but they are not going to live forever. So that is also Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam only. You also have problems, then they run to Vishnu saying, I have this problem, I have that problem, demons are attacking, whatnot. So they are also in constant fear, they also have all the issues in the world. But then they are realizing that when, if supposing we were in Bharatavarsha, there could have been an opportunity for us to more easily take up devotional service. Because sense gratification is limited, problems are more prominent. Because sometimes problems are more prominent in a place, it's easier for them to divert their mind and fix their mind on Krishna consciousness. Artho Artati Jignyasu Jnani, right? Four types of people come. So many of us are arthis, meaning we have had some problems, so we came to Krishna consciousness. So it is easier in one sense on earth to practice Krishna consciousness. Yeah, the demigods, they had did a lot of pious activity and they went there, but they are realizing maybe we should have been on earth and we should have taken this opportunity to associate with a Vaishnava and take up bhakti. Of course, we did a lot of punya karma, and punya karma eventually gives purification. There is no doubt about it. They also talk about it. They say even if they are doing yajnas, eventually it has to give them purification. That is true even for them, because they performed all these yajnas, they have taken high posts as demigods, and they have received some purification. They are in the mode of goodness. Because they are in the mode of goodness now they are realizing, why did I stop with the mode of goodness? Let me actually proceed further. Let me go back to earth and take Vaishnava association and become a devotee. Without jnana and karma, let me get pure devotion so that I can really advance. So it's because they are very pious, they went to higher planetary system. Now, once they went to higher planetary system, they realized that just having piety and mode of goodness is not sufficient. I want to become a devotee. So to become a devotee, again, I should go to a place where devotion is more nicely practiced. And they realize that it is not so easily practiced there. So let me again go back to earth. This time, when I go back to earth, I will use it for devotion, not just for piety.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that understanding which you gave. And one more thing is, they will think that, okay, they have to have a better position, means like they have to become a devotee. So that's why they will like to come here. Mm-hmm. But still, is there any guarantee for them to remember what they had desired?
When they come here and they practice devotional service, they are like one of us. Maybe even you were a demigod. We don't know. We don't know what Anita was. But maybe there's something there. Some in Chandraloka doing something. And now she's here. And she's practicing devotional service. So she's practicing devotional service nicely. Obviously, she's attracting Krishna's mercy. And Krishna is going to help her perfect her life.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very nice.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Vasundhara Devi Dasi. Mataji, thank you for your association, Vasundhara Mataji.
Mataji, no. First of all, my Dandavat pranams to you. You're my favorite preacher. Honestly, I love to listen to you. So nectarian. Thank you so much. I mean, while listening to you and Anita Mataji's conversation, I forgot my question. It was so beautiful. Okay. Mataji, I was to ask you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting his original form and all his appearances. It was only seen by Advaita Acharya and his wife, or it was visible to all the assembled devotees there, Mataji?
Good question, and no answer from my side. It could have been seen by everybody who was present there, is my guess, but I'm not able to pinpoint you to a verse. But especially, of course, this darshan was tailor-made for Advaita Acharya, because he tells specifically he wants to show it to Advaita Acharya. But my assumption is, who else was with him? Nityananda Prabhu was with him, and maybe Srivas Pandit, they also get to see, is my assumption. But I have to show you a verse, right? So I'll see, Mataji. I don't know.
Okay, Mataji. And one follow-up question on the same, Mataji. Please excuse me again, because I've not gone through Chaitanya Charitamrita in full, so I'd love to listen to all of you when you speak about Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Mataji, like, I understand during some of the sessions of CC elsewhere also that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never wanted to kind of, give the feel or give that, what do you call, give the feel to his association or anyone there, stating that he is the original Lord himself. He never wanted others to treat him like that or even speak about it, right? So this particular incident was basically only to show it to Advaita Acharya then, Mataji. I mean, because he was the one who was seeking the Lord to appear in this material universe. So it was only for that reason he had to show his appearances. Because initially, I mean, later on in few incidents, only to certain devotees he showed his some forms, but he never wanted anyone to even kind of even speak about that, right? I mean, that's what I used to hear in most of the occasions there. Is that true, Mataji?
He didn't want to freely show everybody. He only showed his Mahaprakash Leela, like Chinmay Mataji was also mentioning some time back. That is showing his real Mahaprakash, his real opulence. Only a few of them, two very close associates, who could understand. And it was not an open secret. He's called Charnavatar, meaning he's a hidden incarnation. He's not openly seen by everybody as the Supreme Lord. But to some of his close devotees, he did it from time to time. So this was one of the revelations when he showed Advaita Acharya. He's shown it to many of his devotees. Different devotees have different forms of the Lord. Now he's showing himself in all opulence to Advaita Acharya. Some people, like I mentioned, right? Some people saw six arm forms, some people four arm forms, some people forms of Krishna. People in the Mahaprakash Leela, multiple things they were seeing.
So nice, Mataji. And that too, when I hear from you, I don't know, probably you're experiencing those nectarian thing yourself. You're able to share that with us. So thank you so much. One last question, not relating to this specific session though, if I can ask you, please. We hear that there are spiritual worlds, like various spiritual worlds other than Goloka, like Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Dham, etc., etc., in the spiritual sky. When a person, when a seeker likes the form of Sri Jagannath, is there a separate Puri Jagannath in the spiritual sky, or it's there, Mataji?
It's there.
Oh, okay.
It's there. So Padma Puran, I think that is the reference. Like, if you see this Goloka chart, everybody has it at home. There's a big chart that was specially done after referencing, after referring to many scriptures. In the Padma Puran, as far as that quote goes, it is mentioned that all of these, each of these dhams that are there in this world, they are also present in the spiritual world, and that form of the Lord is worshipped there, including Jagannath.
Very good. Oh, okay.
So if you're a
So
devotee of Jagannath, you can happily go to Jagannath Puri.
nice. Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Please keep repeating yourself for the sessions. So nice to hear from you, and the way you experience what you experience is what your I mean talk reflects. So we might get some kind of Sukruti there.
I
So
don't know if
please shower those.
I don't know if I experienced anything at all, but
we can see, hearers can make out, right? You might not, and that's your modesty, and that has to be there though, but it's really nice to hear from you. So thank you so much for your association is what I would like to say. I'm grateful to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your kind words and blessings, Mataji. Thank you for your association. We were talking the other day about how you are able to get the answers to everything. I think this was in Bhagavatam class last time. So when Mataji was mentioning, how is she able to get all the answers?
All credits to Bhakti Sangha group. I hear from so many, exalted devotees of sometimes all direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada. What Sukruti, I don't know, I've done honestly, Mataji. What kind of speakers you get? My God. I mean, I missed all those years. I understand you have started this for at least more than a decade now, Mataji. That's what I heard in one of the calls. But me, a poor, unfortunate soul, I got connected just a year ago. So, but still, it's been so nice. I don't like to miss any of the classes of Bhakti Sangha group, at least in the second half of the India time. So, wherever possible, I'd like to make it. So, all the gyan that's been shared on Bhakti Sangha group is what I owe you for. So, thanks again to all the organizers on this Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Yes. Hari Bol.
Fantastic organizers and coordinators. So much effort they put every single day. Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Vasundhara Mataji. And thank you for being a part of us. Hare Krishna. Sumi Ravi. Vinita, raise before that.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the beautiful class. Very grateful to you. Mataji, I don't know, Anita Mataji asked my question. I was little not hearing attentively when Anita Mataji asked, but I heard her question. Answer I did not hear. So, same related to that only I have the question, Mataji. So when the demigods come here to this earthly planet, on the request of Lord, like all the, when Krishna appeared, you have telling all the demigods were appeared in Yadu dynasty, and also even Rama time, all monkeys came, demigods actually. So what will happen to their post, whoever is there in that post?
It will be there. Somebody will.
And who will be there?
Okay. A nice question. Okay. One thing is, if it is the Supreme Lord can be simultaneously present everywhere. One thing. Okay. Sometimes the Supreme Lord doesn't have to vacate Vaikuntha and come. He will be there. He'll be here also. Or he doesn't have to vacate Goloka and come. He's there. He's here also. Now for demigods, like for example, in the case of Yamaraj, it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the purport that once Yamaraj had to take the birth of Shudrani's son because he gave a wrong verdict to Manduka Muni, right?
Vidura, right? He comes as Vidura, right?
As Vidura. So at that time, Aryama takes the position of Yamaraj. Prabhupada writes in the purport. So now when they come to participate in the Lord's pastimes, this is what I have understood. As much as there is they are present in both places, Mataji. Their expansions or their amshas come and participate while they are present there. They are higher living entity, and it is possible for them. Maybe for us it's not possible, but for them it is definitely possible.
Yeah. I was thinking Kardama Muni, right? Expanded himself, like maybe we can compare like that, Mataji, to the demigod. They can also expand themselves to some extent, but not as Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to just to fulfill the desire of the Lord, maybe they can expand, right? Can you understand like that?
A potency, their amshas can come, as they understand. You're right. Yeah. Like, for example, when we say, okay, Sugriva, Vali, all of them, they are specific amshas of that particular demigod. Yeah. They also come to participate.
Okay, yes. Mataji, thank you so much for the beautiful class and nice quiz in between. Very, very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Sumi Ravi, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. And Pranams.
It's just Mataji, as you should note, everyone said, wow, what a class, this what is going on in my mind. And Mataji, made your words, you know, and the way you've delivered or chosen these things, it's made a visual go on in the head, you know. It's like you're watching a movie and suddenly the curtains are down and it's over. That's the feeling. So your words have made all these visuals possible. The visual of, say, a traffic jam going on in the sky. So you're imagining all the horses and things. You see so many traffic jams all around you. So you know what a traffic jam is. But a traffic jam with all the animals. And Sita Thakurani coming in a palanquin, bringing so many things for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was born. So many events like this, Mataji, it was such a wonderful thing. We could easily visualize all those things. So when, for me, when I visualize, it's like I'm immersed there, you know, at that point, I'm not here. So it's very nice to be immersed in the Lord's pastimes or his katha, you know, it's as if you're there. As if you're there and you're watching. And what a thing you said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that his consorts and his other sakas, they come along with him down to the earth for every avatar so that they may have direct association with devotees here. My God, what a thing that is. So then, I'm all so blessed to be associating with such devotees whom even the demigods want to be associated with directly, not see from above, but come here and be associated directly. Wonderful, Mataji, wonderful. My dandavat pranams, koti pranams to you for this.
Thank you. Thank you, Swami Mataji. Thank you for being there with us. Every day you're there, 15 minutes before the call, you always fill in for all the services. Thank you so much for your association. We are blessed. I hope you continue, Mataji, even if you go back to India. You continue from wherever you are and give us your association.
Sure, Mataji. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. Again, Sukhakar Prabhu raised his hand. Or it was the
What you spoke is not Gyan, it is Vigyan. It's not knowledge, it's self-realized knowledge.
Prabhu, I'd love, you know the truth. It's not.
You are part of the Leela, but you're not telling. You are one of the associates wherever they're done. That's why you could tell so clearly. She came and she spoke. Mataji, I find Chaitanya Bhagavat is more interesting than Bhagavatam. Somehow,
because Mahaprabhu you are attracted to Mahaprabhu.
Because Mahaprabhu is more merciful now than Krishna, because he came as a devotee. So he is able to relate more.
And we are able Krishna to relate to a devotee more, right? Yeah, that is true, Prabhu.
Krishna is like a big boss. He'll tell him. He's also nice, but Mahaprabhu is...
He's more relatable.
Yes.
So true, Prabhu. So true.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Sarima
Mataji.
Oh, Vinita, go ahead.
Mataji, 1 minute. I wanted to say you thank you for last month allowing all of us to speak. And you yourself did not come and Kitida Mataji did not come. But you gave everybody opportunity to speak. Can you hear me, Mataji? No?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for that. Thank you for starting new year with you, Mataji. I feel happy because you did not come last month in the mid-morning session and you gave all of us opportunity to speak and learn. Very grateful to you, Mataji. Hari Bol. You're such a great leader, Mataji, making all of us leaders. Thank you so much. Hari Bol.
You know, Mataji, this Bhakti Sangha all belongs to everybody. So who am I in between to give an opportunity or something like that? But, thank you for, you are holding up this entire Sangha with your love and affection. That's all matters, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to Bhakti Sangha. Special thanks to Preeti Mataji and Kitida Mataji.
Thank you.
Okay.
Parima Mataji, go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you to have your wonderful association, especially on the first day of this year. You are such a wonderful devotee, and whatever Vasundhara Mataji said, as if, you know, about Bhakti Sangha and about you and about everyone, is like she was just speaking out my mind, as if I just wanted to say I totally agree with her. It's some things, some Sukruti that I actually came to this group. And I'm so glad and I'm so thankful to Krishna and Guru and all my acharyas for that. And thank you very much to everyone. And I seek blessings from all the senior Vaishnavas that I can, you know, progress on my Krishna consciousness. So I'm seeking blessings from all of you. So, and a happy new year. Happy Krishna conscious new year to everyone. That's it. Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. It's been a while since I heard your voice. I'm so happy you're here. And you're there to give us your association. And thank you for being an integral part of the Sangha always. Hare Krishna. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Beautiful question answer session. Thank you. Thank you for answering everybody so patiently. And I second Vinita Mataji for giving all of us a chance to learn Bhagavad Gita and speak, and you and Kirtida Mataji did not come, so that is due sometime, Mataji.
Mataji, we already did that 18 week session, right?
Yeah, but so many of us were not there then. So, Mataji, there are many messages in the chat. Yashomati Mataji is thanking you for a very beautiful class. You recited the verses very beautifully. And our Indulekha Mataji is thanking you for choosing beautiful sections and verses from Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Parima Mataji has also thanked you in the chat. Then Vrinda Gopika Mataji has given her blessings and thanks and everything to you. And Shivani Mataji has thanked you, and she's asking you to give more classes. Balabhadra Prabhu has thanked you. Very nice class. And I did not know about five heads and six head demigods, everything. And the traffic issue was very nice. So,
everywhere traffic issues, right?
So, yeah, something we could all relate to. It's a beautiful session. Thank you, Mataji. So, with your permission, shall we end the class?
Sure.
जय 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 ज